This is your Anime Degens Weekly Rundown 61. Let's get it. What's up, everybody? Just Dan today with Krieger, Bass, and Tyler are both out of town, so you're getting us today. We got two episodes for you. It's kind of that weird time between seasons, so we've got Mashle, the season finale, and then One Piece 1099. Make sure if you haven't yet, the best way to support us is to rate the podcast, tell your friends. If you guys have any topics or questions related to the shows we're watching, make sure to hit us up on socials or jump in the Discord, linktree.com/animedegens. Cool. How you doing, Kriegs?
I'm doing good. Glad to be back.
Yeah. Appreciate you filling in as always, you know, coming off the bench in our time of need.
Yeah, no worries. We're in that weird time where, like, shows are ending, but the new ones are starting. It's that weird week.
Yeah. Well, I'm just glad nothing else started because it would have been weird to like have like a weird flux in the middle, you know?
You technically did have one start today. Technically.
Well, we're not talking about it today. We're gonna do Monday releases are so hard to like watch, but like get out of work, watch a release, and then like talk about it like an hour later. So hard.
Yeah, no, I went on my way to watch this one because I was really excited. So
I know. But cool. You want to get into Mashle?
Yeah, definitely.
Sweet. So the first show we're going to talk about is Mashle Season 2, Episode 12, the finale. Mash Burndead and the busty bookstore clerk. I mean, his good friends. So last week we were kind of talking. We're like, oh, I wonder what they're going to do for the season finale. And well, let me tell you. The thing you do when you defeat the most powerful wizard in the realm with nothing but your muscles is obviously just go to the beach with your friends and have a beach episode. Like, came out of nowhere. I was sitting there, I'm watching, like, are you fucking serious, Mashle?
Yeah, it kind of seemed like they shoehorned the comedy with this episode a lot. I get it, like, beach episodes are, like, they become a meme in themselves in anime, but it was just season finales. You want to leave on a high. It just kind of seemed a little odd placement there.
It was definitely a little weird, but the episode started off with Caldo and Dot finding the wizard who was using the barrier to protect that huge ass demon that Mashle ended up just Bowser tossing through some mountains. So they found him. They got him. They didn't really need to, but you know, good way for those guys to get involved in that final fight.
Yeah, I agree. I was like, you gotta find that dude.
Yeah, I mean, that was, they like were like, oh, we gotta find this guy. We're not going to defeat this thing without it. And then Mash is just spinning in circles, throwing a 8-headed demon through a mountain. So
literally Bowser and Mario 64.
Exactly. That's exactly what he did. I was cracking up. But after they defeat this mage, Caldo shows up and actually like full on just might have killed him. I mean, he came in with the sand magic pretty heavy. And then just casually is like, oh, Calder, I heard you're siding with Mushroom Head. And I was really surprised by that because, like, after everything Mash has done, like, Order still doesn't, like, trust him. Like, that's ridiculous, man.
He's definitely one of those types of people that the rules are the rules. He reminds me a lot of the Cyberpole agents in One Piece. Like, they will just follow orders no matter what.
Yeah, it makes you wonder if Order had some very traumatic childhood experiences in training to lock all that in their deep form, you know, like the Cyberpole guys do.
Yeah, he might have. We don't know.
Yeah, we'll find out. But after all that, news of Innocent Zero's attack in the school starts to spread, and the public obviously is very disturbed by this, and the way that, you know, the magic council in the school tries to get around this is they spread a fake story in the newspapers that the divine visionaries fended Innocent Zero off. And you know, I guess that's kind of believable, you know, it works.
Yeah, that was a pretty solid cover up Because if I'm a general, you know, just like a citizen, I would buy that story.
Yeah, I mean, the Divine Visionaries are the Divine Visionaries. Like, they're the next up-and-coming group of wizards, and you figure that all of them could take down, you know, a pretty strong bad guy, so.
Yeah, the only flaw in this is all it takes is for one student to, like, tell someone outside of the castle halls, and it's just gonna spread, and I'm assuming this is what kind of happened.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if the public knows that it was actually Mash who well, I don't want to say defeated, because he didn't really defeat him. Innocent Zero just is like, oh, I'm gonna melt into who knows what, and my body's gonna explode, so I'm out of here. But it just makes you wonder if that's what happened. I mean, most of the students were frozen in time too, so like, I don't even know if they ever they knew what happened, you know.
They saw him throw Bowser. I know that.
That is very true. I didn't think about that.
Because when he was fighting Innocent Zero, everybody was still frozen.
Yeah. But after all this, the narrator comes in and he tells us that Mash and his friends are going to the beach. And I just remember when I saw that scene, I literally texted Tyler and I was like, what the fuck, dude? Like, why are we doing this in the season finale?
That's something you put on like episode 6 of the season or something.
Yeah. Stop doing all these mid-season recaps and just give us a beach episode, like complete filler right then. Yeah. We're good. You know, that's perfect.
Yeah. What was up with Mash wearing the,
his workout gear?
Yeah. I'm like, just take the tights off, man. You're at a beach.
He's there to lift weights, dude. Come on.
He had to have been hot in that thing. Cause it's tight. It's black. And the sun was out.
Yeah, no, 100%. But more importantly, what the fuck was with the tentacle porn watermelon?
Oh my god. So that reminded me of the Bleach Beach episode. I don't know if you remember this one.
I like tune Bleach episodes out.
So the Soul Reapers go to the beach and like this watermelon gets like spiritual pressure and it's but it's large and it tentacle wraps all of the women. It reminded me exactly of that.
They have to be making a play on that then. Like, there's no chance. I mean, Mashal doesn't come up with a single, like, idea on its own. So they definitely just ripped that off of Bleach.
Yeah. So, yeah, if anybody's interested, go find that Bleach episode. It's a filler. I cannot remember for the life of me what episode it is. Oh, I just remember seeing it and I was like, what the hell did I just watch today?
And then you're like that Leonardo DiCaprio meme where he's pointing at the TV. Like, yeah, that was you, like, Bleach episode.
Literally. I was like, oh my god, this is just like the Bleach filler. Tyler would love it. Yoruichi shows up in a swimsuit. He would love that.
I mean, if Ron Kiku's there, man, I'm in.
Yep, she's there.
Boom. It'll be like the Bleach episode in Gurren Lagann where Yoko, who is normally in a bikini, shows up in a very modest bathing suit.
Oh yeah, that was hilarious.
That was so wild.
The disappointment in everybody's faces.
Dude. Classic beach episode. But after all that, Mash has this watermelon on his head, like sucking his blood out of him. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? And he just smashes his noggin on the ground and destroys this watermelon. And then
him. Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, what? Why is it saying arigato, arigato while dying? I'm like,
I don't know. That it really confused me.
Your existence is this painful that you want to die, Mr. Tentacle Porn Watermelon?
Maybe. I don't know.
Oh my god. Dude,
this, it was wild.
I just, every like time we watch something in this episode, I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Like, why is this a season finale?
Yeah, it really did not feel like a season finale episode.
No, it felt like a random like filler episode they release in between seasons, honestly.
It's like they took like chapter 0.5s at the end of volumes and just mashed them up together in an episode.
It's exactly what it feels like. And that could have been what they did. I don't know. But actually, no, because it all flowed.
It did flow, but it was just, it was weird, man.
Yeah. And then after that, the headmaster shows up at the beach too, because summer only comes once.
He's got no arm. He's still recovering. Half of his body is burnt.
But he's drinking out of a coconut, so that's healing, dude. Oh, come on.
God.
Hey, coconut water is very good for you, so I get it. Hopefully he has something a little stronger than just coconut water in that coconut, though, to deal with those injuries.
You know he put Malibu in that thing.
For sure. And Wahlberg just comes in here, and he takes, like, this, like, happy-go-lucky scene, and he just summarizes the current status of this magical realm they live in. He's like, yeah, we're basically fucked. He's like, Innocent Zero is both time and space magic, which are the top two magics you can get. He's got five underlings who are strong as fuck. Their chances of Zero winning are basically zero, and the only one who can potentially save this world is Mash. And then Mash comes in with some of the most sound math I've ever heard in my life right here. He's like, well, I can either win or I can lose. So that's a 50% chance of winning, but muscles never lose. So 100% chance of victory. And I'm like, God damn it, Mash. You're just oblivious.
That quote was awesome, though.
Oh, that got me a little fired up. Not behind all the confusion of me going, what the hell is this? What are we watching right now?
I'm like, there's a little more that goes into those percentages of winning and losing this one. All right.
Yeah, 50%.
You do, Mash.
And then we go straight from the beach to a new training arc, and we're not training our muscles, we're training our mind. Mash has to learn how to study. Like, it's just the way they did this was just so mishmashed together, dude.
It was very funny when Mash realized that Dot was actually a good student, and it broke him.
I was crying. I was like, wait, Dot of all people? Like, Lance would have made sense, Finn, Lemon, but no, Dot is out here grinding away in the books. And I was like, really, Dot?
And then Mash is like, he's sitting there like writing, and he's like trying to drift off, and he looks up. All of them are staring him down, just like,
Yeah, and this is when he proceeds to just decide to jump out a window, right?
Yeah, that was like, what was that, like 12 stories he jumped?
It's Mash, he's fine.
Oh my God.
But like, he jumps out this window and Lance comes in. He's like, I can't teach people who don't want to learn. This is just who Mash is. And that makes Finn go look for him. And Finn is looking everywhere and he finally finds him out in the woods, up to his neck buried. And Mash is just sitting there like, I want to return to the earth. Like, this guy hates studying so much he wants to be buried 6 feet under.
I think he forgot his whole motivation for a little bit.
Yeah,
peaceful life with his dad.
Yeah, not dying.
Yeah, that too.
Not dying, you know, graduating, everything else he could do. But Finn gives him a good pep talk, and he basically just tells Mash that he's never seen him give up on an impossible opponent. It's just that he really does want to graduate with Mash together. And for Mash to do that, he's got to hit the books. So good for Finn coming in clutch.
Yeah, that was a little clever. Get messing, you know, he knows him enough to know how to motivate him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You want to motivate Mash, you just put a brick wall in front of him and say, go through this. And in this case, the brick wall is potions, magical math. I don't know how that's different from normal math, but based on what we saw at the beach, Mash needs a lot of help on math.
Yeah, he was pretty bad at that.
And they showed his like practice test exam grades, and he got a 3 in potions.
A 3. What was his highest one? Like a 30?
I think it was a 30.
I was like, dude, you're so bad at this.
Dude, and like the thing too is like when Mash like unburies himself, he's covered in moles, and I'm like, what are we doing, guys? Like, are we just throwing random shit in here to make me laugh? Because it's working.
It was a weird episode.
But Mash goes back, he grinds out more studying, and he makes it to exam day. And when he gets called on by the teacher, she tells him he passes. She's very impressed that he actually buckled down and did some studying. But I'm pretty sure a 47 and a 48 aren't passing grades regardless of where you live.
Yeah, I'm not sure. All I know is, because I've watched so many Slice of Lives, is when you do testing, it's like 5 to 6 subjects. And I think they take the overall score.
Oh, so they average them up.
I think they average them. I think that's how it's done.
Okay.
I'm not 100%.
Yeah, I think he did have like a 60 in there. So, you know, that would bump those up into the 50s. But I was like, damn, dude. All that work and you're barely scraping by.
Yeah, that was, jeez. Yeah, he needs to hit the books a little bit more.
But, how'd you feel about the whole studying bit, though?
I mean, it gave me some laughs, but I just thought it was really odd. Like, you know, we're focused so hard on this divine visionary exam. Innocent Zero shows up. And then, oh, yeah, we got to study now.
Yeah,
oh, we're going to the beach. I was like, wait, what?
Like,
what?
Everything is off the rails. Like, there's no closure. Like, we don't even know, like, the Divine Visionary Candidate Exam, which is what the arc is named after, isn't even done.
Yeah, they kind of pulled a little Naruto there. The Chunin exams.
Just, like,
peaced out.
They're like, oh, yeah, they don't matter. You'll be the Hokage regardless. Fuck it. But after that, Mash's Quidditch captain comes in the room and just starts screaming bamboo, bamboo, bamboo. And like, did he do this in season 1? Is that how he talked?
I watched it dub and he actually like said he was speaking sentences because he kept trying to recruit Mash. I don't know. Maybe it was different in the Japanese. I'd have to.
I don't think so. Like, okay. I remember him talking and I'm like, what the fuck is going on with this bamboo bamboo thing? And then everybody else besides me can understand him, and I guess there's an angry mob outside. Somebody leaked that Mash is a lack magic, and they're not happy that a lack magic is at the most prestigious magic university in the realm. So we gotta deal with an angry mob now. So we went from a beach to a study exam to an angry mob, or a little study arc to an angry mob. And I was just so confused, dude.
Yeah, I did enjoy this part. Because Lemma goes up there and gives her best Uraraka speech.
Oh, she trashed it. She killed it. I mean, she went up there and she proved her freaking point.
Yeah, I was like, this is literally the Uraraka speech from My Hero.
And then proceeded to get a rock thrown at her face.
Yeah, that wasn't cool.
No, not at all. But I think the highlight of this whole thing was Dot coming out as Mash's agent. Yeah. And he's like, I have a statement from Mash. And he gives this whole spiel. And at the end, all you just see is like a blurred out middle finger. And it says, I will kill you.
That was excellent comedy right there.
I was not ready for that. I thought he was going to try and like
persuade the crowd.
Yeah, you know, like make the situation a little better, and no, he just made it way worse.
And then them as cats hissing, lost it.
I was sitting up like, why are we doing this? Like, this, I laughed, but I was like, what the fuck are we doing right now?
It was so funny though, like, they're just hissing at, I will defend him.
But like, they've never done anything like that, and like, I feel like they're just pulling shit out of their ass at this point in the show, dude.
They were like, all right, we're doing this all at the end. Last episode, season finale.
Yeah, it was just a really weird season finale. But after Lemon and Dot give their spiels, they just start throwing more rocks. And Mash comes to protect Lemon, catches a bunch of the rocks. And there's just one dickhead. I think that's the only way to describe him. He was a tool in the crowd. Yep. And his like motive is like, oh, if I can catch the lack magic, I'll instantly be famous. And he just keeps riling up this angry mob. And he uses a spell called Prison Wall, which is a 15-centimeter like steel trap that can capture giant mass monsters. And this thing comes down on Mash. And Mash just channels his inner freaking CP9 and starts finger pistoling this thing. And blows the door off it and proceeds to, like, I don't know if he kicked it or if he tossed it.
I think he tossed it, yeah, because he threw it up.
Yeah. Okay.
I didn't think that through again.
Yeah. No, and it just lands on this guy, and the guy's scared shitless. But thankfully, good old headmaster Wahlberg shows up, de-escalates the whole situation, and explains that, hey, we've got approval from the Magic Council to let Mash make it through the Divine Visionary exam. If he doesn't pass, you know, you're not going to have to worry about him anymore. So good for Wahlberg coming in to save the day. Like, I don't know, this whole episode is just so bizarre.
It was all over the place.
And then Wahlberg tells Mash he has great friends, and credits roll.
Yay.
But I guess, like, this was a really weird episode, but overall, how did you feel about season two, like, compared to season one?
I actually liked season two because there was a lot of action going on in this one. You know, enemies got tougher. We actually got to see Innocent Zero. So I because I wanted to see him. I didn't know if he was like an endgame villain or like, you know, he turns out to be, I guess, one of the villains that pops in early. And we're going to have to fight him later.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely the main antagonist. I mean, I can't imagine they're going to pull somebody stronger than this guy out of the woodwork later in the show, which also makes me think this can't be a very long manga, like, overall. Like, I think it's still going, but I don't think it's going to be, like, more than, I don't know, like, 50, well, actually, we got 24. Probably, I don't think it's going to be more than 48 episodes. That's my guess, like, with the show.
Oh, really? You think it's, like, a 50-episode type of show and we're...
I don't know how they can keep dragging this along. I mean, like, they didn't give us a single door joke.
Yeah, that was disappointing. Like, where did those go?
Yeah, we got Honk instead. That was the season two gag, was just like Mash looking dumb with that noise going on in the background.
Yeah, I'd have to see like where the manga is and then like how much it is. But there is definitely a trend of, especially in Shonen Jump, where mangas kind of like they don't go for the like, you know, 10 plus year run anymore. It's more like of a 5 to 7 year type of deal.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess I don't know when Mashal like first started in Shonen Jump either, so like I'd have to look into it, but I can't imagine this running more than 4 seasons, you know, if they're doing 12 episode seasons. I'd be surprised.
Yeah, actually, let me see. I got my Shonen Jump app right up. Let's see if I can figure it out. There's 163 chapters right now.
Okay, and how many of those have we covered, I guess?
Ooh, I don't know. Let me see if I can figure it out. I'm just staring at volume covers right now. Like, oh, that's about right. Maybe we're on volume 9. I don't know. Yeah, I think we're... Yeah, so we're on volume 9. I think we're at chapter 74.
Okay. Yeah, so maybe 5.
Maybe, and if 5. Anybody's caught up with the manga and I'm wrong, sorry, I was just looking it up live.
we're spitballing here. We're trying to find hope that they bring back a door joke at least once. So
let's see, 74, multiply that by 2.
Yeah.
That's about 2 more seasons right there with 163. So maybe it is a 5 season type of show.
5 or 6, but... I don't know. I feel like we got 2 seasons really quick, and I feel like I don't know if they're going to just keep banging them out or if they're going to give it some time. I mean, they do have a lot of source material to work with, but.
Yeah, they did that quick. They were like, second core. I was like, oh, okay.
No, it was second season. It wasn't a core.
Oh, sorry. Second season.
Yeah. I mean, it felt like a core. I mean, they were so quick. It felt like a second core. They just weren't back to back, you know?
Yeah. It wouldn't surprise me if like Mashal takes a little break. And maybe it comes back like late 2025.
Or yeah, and just another 2. That would make sense.
Or they, I don't know what the next arc is. They sneak in a movie. I could easily see that happening.
Yeah, that'd be kind of cool. But overall for me, I think I like season one more. I think the comedy was better season one. And I think it was like getting introduced to all these characters was so fun. And like, I feel like in season two, we had a set cast. We didn't really meet many new people. And while the action was better, that was one of my big complaints from season one, is that the fights were so fast. I just don't think it, like, it carried the same level of comedy, I guess.
Yeah, I'd say season one flowed a lot better.
Yeah.
And to your point, yeah, a lot of people were left out of the Divine Visionary exam. So, like, Lemon was just sitting on the sidelines the whole time.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess the big baddie from last season lost all his coins, but...
Yeah, he was chilling. He was there. He was there for the first episode for that party.
Yeah. Well, the interesting thing with him, I mean, he's a triple liner, even though it's artificial, but he was frozen in time, so he can't be actually that strong.
Yeah, that was odd to me.
Just weird. Just weird writing.
Yeah. Like,
but I guess that's what happens when you take One Punch Man and Harry Potter and you make a baby.
I'm like, Abyss, you can't move either? Okay, never mind.
Yeah, literally, I was like, oh, okay. But I think I gave, like, the first season, it's like a 7.2, I think. Yeah. Something like that. I'm probably going to go, like, 6.4. I think it's not as good, but it was still better than mid.
Yeah, I'd probably give it, like, a 7.
Yeah.
Solid 7.
I'm just salty about the lack of doors being ripped off hinges.
Yeah, I will miss that Creeping Up's opener, though.
Yeah. Oh, bling, bang, bang, boom, born, or whatever it is.
Bling, blong, blong, bling, blong, blong.
That is, like, one of the few openings I don't think I ever skipped. Like, it just was such a banger.
Yeah. Hopefully Creeping Up's returns to do Call a Night Season 2, the opener. That was awesome.
Yeah. And I guess I have a few notes from Tyler. He felt like that wasn't a finale at all. Yep, and it was a waste of a finale. And it went from a high 6, borderline 7, to a low 6 with that ending. Damn.
You know what it felt like? It felt like an OVA, now that I really sit here and think about it.
Well, it felt like they took, like, 3 OVAs, condensed them to 6 minutes, and smashed them together.
Yeah, it was just really odd. That's all I gotta say.
And it just sucks because it definitely took away from season 2 a little bit, I feel like.
Yeah, especially with all the, you know, all the other anime, all the great season enders we got. It's like, then you watch that one, you're like, oh, what happened?
Yeah, no, exactly that. Like, I think Mashou was probably the last one I watched. And after watching, like, Braveheart and, like, so many other shows, I was like, I just saw epicness and I just saw this. What the hell, guys?
Yeah, like, Frieren ended incredibly. Undead Unluck left it open for season 2. Shangri-La Frontier actually had a pretty good season 1 ending.
Yeah, we got cats now. Let's go. We got cats and rabbits.
Yeah, we got 8 Siths.
Well, awesome. You ready to get some One Piece?
Oh, definitely.
So we got One Piece 1099, which, crazy to think, we're about to hit 1100 episodes of this show.
I remember when 1000 was, like, the big thing, and we're already at, like, 1100.
I know, it feels like it was, like, a couple months ago, too, with, like, how fast time has flown by. But for this episode, we got preparations for interception, Rob Lucci strikes. So Pythagoras gives Rob Lucci and CP0 orders to drop off S. Bear and get the hell out of Egghead. But Lucci's got some other plans. Also, Luffy agrees to help Vegapunk escape from CP0's clutches and the world government. So we picked up right where the last episode ended. We've got CP0 facing off against some sea beasts. They already took down one, and there's 4 remaining. Pythagoras asked him to leave. Lucci said, yeah, dog, I got you. We'll get out of here. Before using S-Bear's pawpaw fruit ability and heading straight to Egghead and abandoning ship for this thing to get absolutely leveled by some sea beasts. And after we talked last week, with the guys, the sea beast definitely looked like Kid and Chopper, like 100%.
Yeah, you could see it.
I think Oda's just throwing some Easter eggs in there for us. But after that, Luffy's team and Vegapunk noticed a pretty big explosion off in the horizon, and Luffy thought it was in town, but Vegapunk explains it was in the harbor, and it must have been CP0 up to something. And Luffy was kind of surprised that CP0 was a thing. He's like, do you mean CP9? And Vegapunk basically came and was like, nah, dog, these are the big dogs, who conveniently are almost all of the CP9 guys in white suits now. But
yeah, they got me with that. Well, when they first was it Dressrosa we found out about CP0? So, yeah, cause, oh, sorry, I keep cutting you off.
No, go for it, dude.
I was saying, because I, you know, an AS lobby happened, like CP9's so secret, no one knows about him. And then we got that bomb ass arc. All the fights were awesome. And I thought they were the highest authority. And they're like, oh, yeah, there's a zero now. I'm like, what?
But it, like, it makes you wonder, does it go CP9 and then CP0, or is there a CP8 through 1 we've just never heard of, and these guys just skip through the ranks?
I feel like CP1 just, like, all they do is, like, they're like the crossing guards at parades. They don't really do much.
They're the guy in front of an elementary school with the sign making sure the celestial dragons get across the road.
Probably what they do, man.
But we learned that CP0 works directly for the Celestial Dragons, so they're the top dogs. Vegapunk tells them that they've got to meet him up in the Labio phase and to take the vacuum rocket. And this has Luffy really hyped, but with seeing all the tubes in the background of Egghead, I'm 90% sure the vacuum rocket, in quotes, is literally just a mail tube. Like, or like the tube you see at the bank where you put your check in and it goes up through there. Kids won't understand that these days because I don't think people go to banks anymore. But that shit was so cool when I was a kid.
Yeah, no, it's literally, you just get in there and it sucks you right in. Like an Futurama.
Yeah, it's like the transport tubes of Futurama. But Luffy is really hyped for this and I can't really blame him.
Yeah, like, because it's, you know, it's basically just Technology Island. I get it why they're so excited.
Yeah, and speaking of excited, Kaku's first impressions of Egghead were awesome. He was fired up.
Oh, it was like he brought a kid to Disney World. He was so excited.
I love the way that Oda makes all like the guys in One Piece like just super fanboys when it comes to robots and like technology and stuff. I think it's so funny.
And all the women are just deadpan like, what's that?
But after that, we get Shaka gives the order to evacuate the civilians on the island and release the Seraphim. And I know it's the second time we've seen S Hawk, S Snake, and S Shark, but like, how do you feel about their designs? Like, I think they're pretty sweet.
I think they're pretty fire. They're like dark angels. It's cool.
And like, did you notice? Like, I forgot about how big Yoru actually is, Mihawk's sword. And like, looking at that on the back of like a mini Mihawk is just so funny to me. It's like twice as tall as him.
Yeah, he knows how to use it too. My God.
Yeah, no, he's a beast. But I did want to ask, because you are the One Piece lore expert in my life, do you have any idea why the Seraphim have stars for eyes? Is that so they can shoot laser beams?
Stars for eyes. Well, one, they were in Oshinoko. Two, it could be because it's, what is it? Is it Lunarian DNA? Is that what he's mixing? It could be just all the mixture of different races.
Maybe.
And genetics that's causing that to happen.
Could be.
I can't think of another. I'd have to really think about it. Do any other characters of One Piece have stars for eyes?
No, that's it. And I mean, like, I know Mihawk's got some funny eyes, and there's plenty of people with, like, interesting eyes in One Piece, but I haven't seen stars. Yeah. So that has me interested.
Yeah, like there's the Third Eye tribe, but that's just a third eye.
No, I wasn't sure if you'd know. And I mean, that's the thing too, is like, if they explained it and I haven't caught up, I'm not caught up on the manga right now. So like, I'm like, I don't know if they've talked about this, but hopefully
they have not. They haven't covered it. What we have in the manga is incredible. I'm not going to say what, but I cannot wait to see it animated. That's all I'm going to say.
No, I'm very excited. I mean, I've seen spoilers obviously, and I think I'm probably like a month behind, but I'm very excited.
Oh, it's good.
Well, back to where we are on the show. The hologram dragon is back and he has four eyes, so that's fucking sick. And Kaku's really fired up. He's calling it a space kaiju, and I'm like, hell yeah, dude, let's go.
I wish Tyler was on this episode.
Kaku's just one of the boys, man. That's it. Kaku is just one of the boys, and he's
I wish Toei had done this, and they're like, it's Kaiju number 8. I would have lost it.
That would have been great. But you know who isn't one of the boys? And that's Lucci, because he is just deadpan this whole time, dude.
Yeah, Lucci's a fun sucker.
And one thing I noticed, too, is Stussy, or they're calling her Stucci, but that's just
Stussy. Yeah, like, whatever.
But she seems to know a lot about Egghead, so I'm excited to see where that goes. Maybe there's some hidden connections there that we're definitely not going to talk about. Wink, wink, nod, nod.
Yeah, she. I don't know if anybody caught the line. She said it brings a lot of memories back.
Yeah, it's nostalgic.
And then they did not say anything further. There was no follow up there. So
I guess we're going to find out. And after that, Kaku's like, oh, I'm going to go up to the next phase and see what's going on. And I'm just laughing because Stussy is just sitting there with like a shit eating grin on her face. I think she doesn't like Kaku.
Clearly.
And she's just sitting there like, oh, he might not want to do that. And he just gets up to like this level and just gets blasted by laser beams and falls out of the sky. That had me laughing pretty good.
And then it was great. It was like, why didn't you tell me before? She's like, eh. Didn't care.
But after all that, Lucci's still cold as fuck. Atlas shows up and she takes the Six King pistol straight to the dome, dude. Like, Lucci is heartless.
It was in the eye socket.
Yeah, and you like saw her head like looking like Sonic the Hedgehog. Like, it was just like bouncing around inside that robotic skull of hers.
Yeah, I don't know why she thought she could take them on. I was like, come on, you have to know the situation here.
Yeah, like, I feel like you got it. If you're Vegapunk and you have access to Vegapunk's memories and you have Shaka sitting there in your ear like, they're going to kick your ass, get out of there, I feel like you'd pull back. But she is Vegapunk's violent side. Yeah. And ain't nobody can be more violent than Alice. You know, that's just not okay.
Yeah, I think emotion overrode logic in that situation.
Definitely. But Atlas gets pretty boxed up. Luffy and gang are running through the town looking for the vacuum tube when they come across this. And Luffy is pretty pissed pretty quick. If we know one thing about Luffy, you don't fuck with people who give him food.
Yep. Rob Luffy about to find out real quick.
Yeah, and I think the most interesting thing from that, the end of this episode, was that we learned that since Luffy is a Yonko, Lucci can't just, like, attack him, like, without orders. So, good to see my boy getting some respect from the big dogs.
Yeah, I didn't realize that until I saw that. I was like, oh, you have to get permission to take on a Yonko? And then I sat there and thought about it. I was like, it kind of makes sense.
Well, yeah, I mean, thanks to our friend, the newspaper,
Big News Morgans.
Yeah, the albatross fruit guy, like Big News Morgans. Like, Luffy seems a lot more badass than he actually. I mean, Luffy's a badass, but Big News Morgan's been really helping him out with that. I mean, yeah, he's got the Grand Fleet, but they're not like assembled or anything like that. But
yeah, they're just doing their own thing around the world.
But the episode ends up with Luffy getting ready to square off with Lucci, and Lucci looks pretty excited about it, because if Luffy throws the first punch, he doesn't have to wait for orders.
That is true, and I'm excited this. I think this is a love letter to all the original fans, and Lucci and Luffy fought in the anime back in 2007. This was 17 years ago when this fight started.
Yeah, it's absolutely nuts. Like, I love the fact that Oda is bringing back a lot of the older characters and roping them back in. And
the story, yeah.
They've gotten stronger, obviously. We haven't seen how strong Lucci's gotten in the anime yet, but I'm assuming we're going to see some pretty cool shit coming up.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I did see a joke, like, Lucci thinking he's got to fight is a gear second with no hockey again. I was like, yeah, no. Things have changed.
And Luffy's going to show up as the literal sun god.
Oh, yeah.
But you feel, I feel like Lucci's got to be in the know. I mean, he's CP0, so he's got to be in the know. And how would you not have seen Luffy's latest wanted poster with him having like the white getup and the white hair and, you know, clouds and everything else? Like, I feel like it's pretty obvious he had a good power up there.
Yeah, I feel like Lucci would be aware, but I think Lucci's also, he's dying to have that rematch again.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's probably like the one person he's lost to.
Yeah, I think it was the, he had, I don't think he had ever lost before that.
No, he's been a child soldier since birth. Like, he's just stacked.
Yeah, and I don't know if, like, someone at Toei, like, you know, plans these episodes out, like, so far in advance, but we're literally getting Luffy versus Lucci at 1100. Yes. Seems like it's pretty well planned.
Yes.
Yeah, well, I'm excited for that episode.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. No, that's going to be awesome. And I mean, that's not going to be one episode either. Like, that's going to be a few. Okay. Like, that fight went on for a while in the manga. So I'm very excited for that. But Toy, you got
it. Toy, if you hear me, you have the okay to add in anime filler to the fight. That's fine. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Please do. Actually, like, cut out the reaction shots. Add more boxing. Nobody's going to blink an eye. But awesome. You got anything else for One Piece?
I think that's everything for me.
Perfect. Well, guys, really quick episode this week because we only had two shows. Kriegs and I will be back on Thursday with the Dami Mami special. We're going to talk all things Step On Me Energy. This is going to be a wild one, pretty unhinged. So put on your calendars, make sure you're ready. If you guys have any Dami Mommies you want us to take a look at beforehand, hit us up in the Discord at linktree.com/animedegens, and we'll catch you then. Peace.
See ya.